behalf of Brian Christopherson, we apologize. We are sending him a nice care package from the show.
Yep.
On behalf of all of our listeners, BC will have earbuds and, or a headset in the future.
Good.
Because you and I were looking at each other going, is that us? What's going on?
Yeah.
All right. So he wasn't doing it intentionally.
No.
But thanks for everybody, all 25 people that have let us know that his phone is beeping. All right, welcome back in. Hour number three.
Oh, wow.
Wow, we're flying today. bottom of the hour, we're going to talk WrestleMania. Dirk Chandler will join us at 1 as they continue through round 2 at Augusta, where yesterday it was not pleasant to play at all. It was a beast. The greens were rough. They were firm. They were fast. And the favorites had some struggles. But I'm so glad we're back playing in April. Loved having the Masters last year. I mean, we had football, we had the Masters, we had horses running, but we got it in. But I did not like the golf because that was not the true course. And if you compare what happened last year in the first round of November last year, when you had so many guys were under par compared to this year, I mean, you had 54. The combined opening round score in November at Augusta was 54 under par. Yesterday, it was 222 over par. You know, Dustin Johnson, he played the course easy breezy back in November, but he struggled. And for one of the rare times, he finished over par. The greens were firmer, they were tricky, and, you know, it's tough to repeat, period. And then DJ went out with a whimper. Especially on 18, how he played. But there's another part of Augusta and some of the favorites and some of the big names and some of the past major winners. Rory McIlroy looks lost. Can you even come up with the odds to be playing in a tournament where you would hit your dad? Your dad is standing along the fairway watching, and you and the thing about Rory is, we don't know who he is right now. And I don't know that he knows who he is. He's adjusting his swing. He looks out of whack. He has that look on his face of he doesn't know where the ball is going. I mean, I've seen that look before. That's the look I'm going to give you when I'm out playing 18 tomorrow, because I don't know where the ball's going. But I'm not Rory McIlroy. And he had a 76 yesterday. I'm sure he's got a... There's some ghosts that happen. But how strange is it with Rory at majors on the opening day? At Augusta, you can't win the tournament on Thursday, but you can sure lose the tournament on Thursday. Since 2015, Rory McIlroy, who back then was taking off, going to have a grand slam. He was going to be the end-all be-all in golf. And he had a great game. And then something happened along the way. And especially at majors, where he shows up, and in some of these majors since 15, he's been the favorite walking in the door. And he puts himself out of contention in the first round. First round of the majors since 2015, McIlroy is 32 over par. Rounds 2, 3, and 4 at majors since 2015, he is 64 shots under par. So Rory's doing it to himself. But right now, he's doing a lot to himself, and it was painful to watch him yesterday. When it comes to the U.S. Open, I'm glad I'm rooting for the course. The story in Augusta is the course, but I also like to see really good world's best players and some unknowns make their hay. Yesterday, those guys had struggles, whether it be Rory, DeChambeau, Kepka, who... Kepka's pretty amazing considering that he recently had surgery on his knee to be only 2 over, and then DJ. The guy that saved himself was Jordan Spieth. He shot a 71. The ninth hole was a disaster for him. He put up a 7. I think it's very rare to win the Masters after you've had a 7 on a hole. But on the second 9, he was 3 under par, And there were holes that he saved his game and he saved his weekend. But I'm hoping for names show up, because I don't want to watch Sunday and a bunch of guys that you know nothing about. Not that I'm, you know, I'm not being a golf snob. I just like some big names in there to go with the mixture of some newcomers at Augusta. But yesterday was not a good day for favorites, and we'll see what today brings. And we'll see if today brings somebody that sits at home and calls up the Golf Tip Hotline to say, you might want to go back and look at Answer on the Beach. Mm-hmm. Which, the only way to see that is you have to zoom in and keep zooming in and slow it down. And then be enough of a jerk that you pick up the phone and call the hotline. Who does that? Who does that? It's the worst sports fan out there that sees something on TV and calls the Golf Tip Hotline. Can you imagine other sports? Somebody's watching at home and they see, like yesterday in New York with the Mets and the Marlins, or they see a travel, or they see something, and you can just pick up the hotline and call like right to the arena. Hey, Harden traveled. Oh yeah, that was an elbow. That should be a flagrant one. Like, I'm fortunate enough, I don't know any of my friends that would be that angered that they would, first of all, search out the number. Is the number public? I mean, well known? Like, can I Google the golf, you know, turn somebody into golf jail hotline? Did you put exactly into the Google machine how I said it?
I just put Golf Tip Hotline. There's a bunch of different numbers here.
Maybe golf rules.
Okay.
Tip hotline. And then we may call this, because I just want to see how they answer. Does the person at the other end, at the PGA or wherever, go, hello, what do you got? Because this ruling on answer was well after he was done.
Okay. So there is a website here that explains how you can report it. It says reporting an infraction. If you are certain you have spotted a rule violation, the PGA Tour suggests fans contact them by using the feedback link, and it's linked to it, on the PGA Tour website. In addition, fans can also contact officials on Twitter at PGA Tour.
Why? And who?
Oh, wow. I guess Tiger in 2013 was docked two strokes when he took a drop a few yards away from his original shot because of somebody that called in.
You need to get a life. And then why isn't like somebody from the PGA Tour sitting in front of, you know, like multiple screens, multiple people?
Right.
Who calls up a Golf Tip Hotline? That is the worst sports fan that is out there. Why are you calling up? Maybe, I don't know, maybe this guy hates Answer. But what they should do is they should let Answer know who the person was, and then he can go to their workplace and he can monitor them and call in any violations.
Mm.
Up, too many staples. Up, does that pen belong to you?
Somebody turn yourselves in. I want to know who it was. I'm very interested.
I mean, what if we had a tip line for the NFL? You see something on the field,
mm-hmm.
and you call it in. Hey, that's a hold. Mm-hmm. That's a hold. Left tackle holding. Watch him. Only in golf does this happen.
Only in golf.
Yeah. John says it's the golf Karens of the world that call the tip hotline. Karens live miserable lives and try to make everyone around them miserable as well. This would be the point of this email into the Equitable Bank inbox that we say we feel sorry for people that are actually named Karen that are nice people.
Yes.
Because somehow during the pandemic, right, we,
yeah,
all was, of the shaming that was going on and all the fighting.
Yeah, it took off then.
It became Karen. And now every Karen is considered to be an absolute bia. Mark Leishman, 5-under through 15. He is in the lead, one-shot lead. Justin Rose has come back to the pack. He is minus 4 through 12. News earlier today involving Creighton basketball. Going to be an interesting offseason. The roster is being formulated, decisions to be made. But Paul Lusk is moving out of Omaha, and he is going back to Purdue. He's going to work for Matt Painter. Steve Lutz, who was at Purdue, got a head coaching job at Texas A&M Corpus Christi, and so that opened a spot on Matt Painter's staff. There's two things when I saw this tweet earlier today. One, what is Jack going to do? The Lusk family, I've gotten to know in the last couple of years of AAU basketball. We've been on the same team. And Jack is a really, really good player that was at Alcorn North this year. They're going to have to move. Basketball life, you move around. Previously was in Springfield as a head coach at Missouri State. So I thought, man, Jack's going to have to leave. That's a kind of a bummer for Andy King, who's the basketball coach out at Alcorn North. But there's the other part that affects Creighton is Paul Lusk was really good at development, an eye for talent. But most importantly, he had a great knack for defensive basketball and how to formulate a defensive game plan. And so that will be missed. And I'm not sure, I haven't had this conversation, but when you've been a head coach before, unless you just had a miserable experience and you don't ever want to be a head coach again, Doc Sadler, you continue to be an assistant. But I think Paul would like it, the right opportunity with the right school, president, athletic director, to possibly be a head coach again. But he goes back to a place he's familiar with and definitely a conference that he's familiar with, Iowa and Purdue. It's a loss for Creighton. And in an offseason when you're trying to figure out your roster and you're turning it over a little bit, and you're going to have a lot of new faces who haven't played a lot of college basketball or faces that haven't been on the front line in terms of minutes, you don't want to have to be looking for assistance and have new faces on your staff while you have new faces on the floor. I wonder what happens with Terrence Wrencher. Oklahoma State has parted ways with Cade Cunningham's brother, who was hired as an assistant coach at Oklahoma State. Well, Cade is gone. He's off to the NBA, and his brother is no longer going to be on Mike Boynton's staff. Will that be a place that they would look to Terrence Wrencher? Possibly, and if that's the case, then you've lost two assistant coaches. But good move for Paul Lusk. Unfortunate for Creighton and for Alcorn North as he moves on. I was mentioning before we hit the top of the hour, Lovie Smith has a new job. Lovie Smith is actually one of the nicer football people that you'll ever meet. He's had quite the football career, whether it be in college, but most notably in the NFL. Still, amongst Bears fans, extremely well-liked. Extremely well-liked. You know that he can coach defense. That's kind of been his MO. But he was looking for a place in Illinois with a new athletic director, was looking for a splash. And they hired Lovie Smith. When Lovie Smith was hired at Illinois, your first reaction was, mine was, they got a guy that will bring name recognition. They've devoted resources where he will be able to build the staff, and I think they'll be able to recruit. Not all of that lined up. They did put resources into their staff. They kind of had a revolving door with their staff. They also, I don't think, had a great formulated plan on recruiting, and they made a mistake of being in the state of Illinois. Instead of starting in and going out, they started out and then tried to come back in. And they tried to go into St. Louis. You know, Lovie hired some important assistant coaches from St. Louis, hoping that would help out in recruiting. But it never took off, and Illinois football is probably, except for a little influx of talent, in the same kind of spot they were when Lovie took over in terms of success on the field. He won 17 football games. He went to one bowl game. Now, after I tell you what he said yesterday about his time at Illinois, you are going to take your head and slam it into the wall when you think about what happened in Lincoln last fall. That Illinois came in and beat Nebraska. And the manner in which they beat Nebraska. At some point, we will do lists in the summertime, and the loss in 2020 to Illinois will rank as one of the worst losses in the last two decades for Nebraska football, in the manner in which it happened. And the bad part of this is, I bet if you ranked like losses, just head-shaking losses, where you went, WTF, there's going to be two games against Illinois in there. Riley's first year and last year. But Lovie Smith was asked about his time at Illinois, and he's currently the defensive coordinator of the Houston Texans. I think he's good in the NFL. I think he'll be fine in the NFL. That's what he is made to do. He's become an NFL guy. He tried it in college, didn't work out. But this is why he said it did not work in college. You know, Lovie's got a signature defense. He said that it didn't work out in college, especially for his defense, because there were a lot of teams that were using three wide receiver sets. And so he was stuck in his base defense and wasn't able to use his nickel packages. Let's look at this from two ways, this statement. One, as an Illinois fan, your reaction would be, I'm good. I'm completely out on the Lovie Smith experience that happened at Illinois. As a football fan, listening to somebody say this, I believe we have a case of coaching malpractice going on. Your defense didn't work in college because there were too many teams that stayed in three wide receiver sets. And so you were forced to play your base defense. Are you not flexible? Did you not study a film and adjust? That's coaching malpractice. Or it's one heck of an excuse that he used on why they were not successful at Illinois. Too many teams were using three wide receiver sets. Do people think that they were just going to play into Illinois' hands? 17-39. And a win last year against Nebraska and a bowl game. And they went to a bowl game 2 years ago. He's good for good for the NFL. He'll be good in the NFL. In college, horrible experience. Really, really bad experience. And then there's the part of me that watched Illinois either upset Wisconsin a couple of years ago or some of the other games that were competitive, and you went, wow, could they be better? We'll see. I think they will be better with Brett Bielema. All right, coming up here in about 10, 15 minutes, we will dive deep into WrestleMania. It is the two-night affair. Tomorrow night, Sunday night. WrestleMania 37 is in Tampa. A much different feel from last year. Some great storylines, and we will break it all down for all of our wrestling aficionados coming up at the bottom of the hour. Dirk Chatelain stops by at 1 as we roll into the weekend on the Gary Sharp Show on 1620 The Zone.